You have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We've been in a series that got a little bit interrupted last week. But the series started with three words for the new year. And the first word was, today is the new day. Whenever today is. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 19, and talked about every day is a new beginning, that today's the day the Lord's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, that his mercies are new every morning. That's a clean slate, not just January 1st, but every single day that we're alive, because we're in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, all things are new. Amen? You become a new creation. Old things pass away, new things come. New things have come. They have come, they're coming, they'll continue to come. That's the normal Christian life, folks. It's the normal Christian life. It's where we become more and more like him. It's new every morning, it's new every day. Second, the second word was today, you have everything you need to live a godly and abundant life. And we looked at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, having the same kind of faith as the disciples had. That we have everything we need to live godly, everything we need to live holy, everything we need to live the abundant life that God promised. Every day's new. Every day we have what we need to live. Today I want to look at Hebrews chapter 3, and I want to just entitle it, Today, if you hear his voice, trust him and obey him. If you hear his word, just go with it. Because if every day is a new day, and every day I have everything that I need to live a godly, holy life, every day I have the opportunity to hear the voice of God. And one of the things that you learn in life, or the Christian life, is that when you say no to God, when you come up to the place that God says, this is where I want you next, whether it is spiritually, whether it's ministerially, whether it's in a job, whether it's whatever, and you say no to God, it could be devastating. It could be the mark of your life, or that season of your life, where you wandered in the wilderness like the children of Israel did. Some of you are wandering today because you never did the last thing God asked you to do that you knew he asked you to do. Because you didn't believe his promise. This is the problem with the children of Israel that the writer of Hebrews is talking about. Today, if you hear his voice, trust and obey. But he says it differently. He says it kind of in a negative way. Someone told me, you really need to do the positive thing first and the negative thing last. And I said, no, because we're all a negative without Christ. Is that right? We are. We're all lost without him. We're all in our bondage. We're all in our sin. We're all in our selfishness. Some people don't know that. They don't realize it. They understand something's different, that they're not living the abundant life. And they need to see it. And then comes what? The good news. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the bad news first, but I'm always going to end with the good news. Always. There's this always good news. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Whenever today is, whenever now is. This is the day that God wants to speak to you. Right now, right here. And the question is will you have ears to hear and a heart to understand, a heart to receive it? Because the Bible says in this scripture, a very powerful scripture, where he says, he uses the word today all through chapter 3 and verse 4. Notice what it says. Today, verse 7, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Where your fathers tried me by testing me. Listen, they saw all my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation. And said, they always go astray in their heart. They did not know my ways. Now watch. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Here's the story. Children of Israel have been in bondage for 400 years. They'll have another 40 years in the wilderness before they get to the promised land. They've been in bondage. They've been crying out to God. Moses is raised up reluctantly. He's the reluctant leader. And he gets raised up to go and deliver them from the hands of Pharaoh. And all of Israel saw 10 great miracles. They saw the works of God. They saw the Nile turn to blood. They saw the gnats, the big hail. They saw the darkness. And it never touched them, folks. It never touched them. All these plagues, they saw them. And then on the 10th, because Pharaoh hardened his heart, every firstborn died. I'm going to ask you a question. I've never done this before. Do it right now. Hope I'll be okay. How many of you are firstborns? Hi. Okay, let it down. How many firstborns are in the nursery today, children's work? Well, there's a bunch. It's as many as percentages there in here. Can you imagine the firstborn grandfather, the firstborn father, the firstborn son, the firstborn grandson? They're all dead. Because their leader hardened his heart and said, no, you can't go. And it didn't touch them, folks. Call it the Passover. The angel of death saw the blood on the posts and he passed over. The angel of death passed over and saved those folks that believed at that point and obeyed at that point. They did what God said to do. And the angel of death passes over. The calamity passes over. And then at this point, Pharaoh said, get out of here. Matter of fact, they're giving them all their gold and all their silver. They're going out wealthy into the promised land. God has done this miraculous work in this generation. And they come out, and in Numbers chapter 13, I need you to turn there, okay? Need you to turn there. They're going to get to the promised land, and they're going to look at it. I know you're looking at your Bibles. Stop looking at your Bibles. Look at me. Just for a moment. They looked over and saw the promised land, and they said no to God. They said no to Him. Now, I'm going to tell you this. It's real important. You can be having something going on today, and you're saying no to the God who wants to lead you through what you're going through right now. I'm not going to let God do it. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to do it by the flesh. I'm going to do it by myself. And what happens is you miss God in the moment, and some people miss all the moments, and they miss God, and they go straight to hell when they die. They don't make it to that promised land. This is more than a metaphor. This is a type and shadow of our journey and what God calls us to. And when you look at this passage of Scripture, you see a couple of things. And he says it. He says it, don't harden your heart and provoke the Lord. And you think, well, what do you mean harden heart? Well, think about the four soils, the parable, the four hearts. The first one is the hard heart. The seed gets on the hard heart. As soon as you hear the gospel, the word, what happens is the enemy comes and steals the word and you forget about it immediately. That's a hardened heart. You forget what God said. You forgot the promises of God, and you walked out from that place of hearing God, whether it was church, a quiet time, or even a place of hardship. You walked out and you forgot God. Forgot Him. You forgot everything that was told to you. It's what people do when they run rampant in sin. Everything they've been taught, everything that God showed them. And let not one of us say that can never happen to us, because you know your propensities. And if you think you don't have what it takes to go the other way, please, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. It's called pride. That we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. They heard the Lord, and when they said no to God, they hardened their heart, and it provoked God. And God comes along, and he says, listen, they not only did that, they tested me, they tried me, and they saw all my works for 40 years. But they didn't know my ways. Can you put Psalm 103, it's in my notes, verse 7 and 8. You know, you can walk in the works of God and not know his ways. You can do good works all your life and not know the ways of God. Not know him. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed miracles in your name. Depart from me, he said, what? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you. I look at this, yeah, show that just for a moment. So he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the son of Israel. 10 huge acts. I mean, and they get to the promised land, and water comes from the rock. Manna comes from the sky. They see defeat. They see things happening already. God does these miraculous things, but they don't know his ways. When you think about this, what were the ways that he showed him? Well, the psalmist, in the next verse, notice what he says. He quotes Exodus 34, where when Moses said, show me your glory, show me your goodness, show me your ways. They've all seen the works of God, and all of a sudden he sees God, and he sees the ways of God. And what is the ways of God? Compassionate. Gracious. Slow to anger. Abounding in love. Abounding in kindness. He goes on. He goes on in Exodus and says this. And he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. If you know the ways of God, you're going to forgive. If you know the ways of God, you're going to walk in love. You're going to walk in kindness. You're going to walk in the grace. And you're going to walk in the mercy of God. That's what loving kindness is. You're going to show grace. You're going to walk in graciousness. These are the ways of God. These folks got to the promised land, or to the wilderness, and it was just 11-day journey that would have been to the promised land from Egypt. 11 days. Boom, boom, boom. Not even an hour flight in these days. 11 days to move millions of people. That's all they had to go. But they grumbled and they complained. And they did that for 30 years, even when God said, you're not going in now. Why? Because they didn't know the ways of God. Jesus, God comes in the flesh. We know him as Jesus. And what does he do? He shows us his glory. He shows us compassion. He shows us grace. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in loving kindness. He forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Did he not forgive your sin? Was he not patient with you? Oh, I need you to respond, okay? I need you to not be good Baptists and respond, okay? Did he not forgive you? Yes. Amen. We're not going to do that too much, okay? But is he slow to anger? Yes. Bounding in loving kindness? Yes. Bounding in truth? Yes. Did he forgive your iniquity, transgression, and sin? That's the ways of God. And you, if you have the Spirit of God, you know the ways of God. And if you refuse to do that with your spouse, with your children, with your grandchildren, with the people you work with, the people you work for, if you don't do that outside everywhere I go, you're missing something deeply. And you might think, and you might be a person who says, oh, God's blessed me. We're blessed. We're blessed with this. God's given us this. God's given us that. Well, listen, I've been to places that God never gave those stuff to. They're the most blessed, happy people in the world. No, we're blessed because we're forgiven. We're blessed because we have Jesus. We're blessed because we have the ways of God. And if you, the church, if me, a pastor, if me, a part of the church, is not walking in compassion, we could go to all the places in the earth and still be mean people. Selfish. These folks didn't know the ways of God. No, notice what else he says, verse 10. They go astray in their heart. Don't harden your heart. Don't test the Lord. Don't go astray in your heart. Know the ways of the Lord. Don't miss the abundant life. They heard the voice of God. Now, I know I told you to turn to Numbers 13. We're not going to have time to look at it, but I'm going to tell you about it. They get to this place called Kadesh Barnea. It's the gateway to the promised land. And Moses points 12 leaders, 12 elders of each tribe, one of each tribe. They're the leaders. They're the ones who set the pace for the tribe. Okay. So you got, you know, like tribe of Judah, right? Tribe of Benjamin. There's 12 of them. And he takes the leader of each one. And he sends them into the promised land and he says, listen, God has given us this land, but we're going to go in, we're going to scout it out, we're going to look at it. We've been told that it's flowing with milk and honey. There's fruit everywhere. There's food everywhere. There's orchards everywhere. I mean, this place has got water everywhere. This place is the promised land. It's flowing with milk and honey. Okay. It's flowing milk and honey. And so they go in, and for 40 days, they scout out the land. And then they come out. And they come up, the Bible says, with just these huge, huge poles that they're carrying with. I don't know how big the grapes are, but these clusters are huge. They're so impressive that they've got to carry them. Two men have to carry them. And they said, look, this land truly is flowing with milk and honey. Look at its fruit. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of the land, they devour people. The Nephilim are there. The giants are there. These people have fortified cities. These people have all these things. They're large. We saw Anak there. We saw the descendants of Anak. And all of a sudden, the crowd, what are they doing? The crowd is just stirring up with this negative report. What did God say? God said, this land's yours. Period. That means I don't have to worry about the inhabitants. I don't have to worry about the next thing. I just got to hear God and obey God. And the first step to hear God and obey God was get over to the promised land, get over the river, get over Jordan. It's first promise. I just got to walk. I got to do that. And they get scared to death. And they let fear rule them. And they say no to God. Since you've got it up, go to Numbers 14:1, just real briefly, since you're there. All the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to him, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord taking us up into this land to fall by the sword? Our wives, our little ones will become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said, let us appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. Caleb says, listen, guys, we surely can possess this land. God has given it to us. We must not say no. We must go. You know what they did? Picked up stones to stone them. Picked up stones to stone these two righteous men. And they said no. I'll just say it this way. They did a Baptistic thing, vote, and the majority won, and didn't go to the wilderness. That's what they did. Two were right. You know, the sad thing about it is they missed That generation missed the promised land. Everybody, I think it was like 22 years and older, had to die in the wilderness. Some people think there were 90 funerals a day for 40 years to get that generation out. And I say this, folks. Had a wonderful time. Johnny and I had a wonderful, wonderful time at Reagan, 20 years old. And then we turned around and had a wonderful time with Tina and Mary, her friend. I won't tell you how old they are, but they're a little bit younger than me. 20, 60s. Said the same thing. Same thing about the church. This church. Same experience. And I think about that. I think about just how God has blessed us. And the question is do we really know His ways? Do we really walk in them? Do we really default to them? Those leaders were responsible for their generation. And when we talk about generations in this place, folks, some of you are in your 60s and 70s, and you're supposed to be speaking into the younger. You just are. You're supposed to be speaking into life, into these younger folks. We all are on the journey. We all have something to give. All have something to share. All have something to be a part of. And I can't understand why we would say no to that. Why would we say no when God's asking us to do this? Well, anyway, they say, let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt. Now, I want to just say this. When you say no to God, you lose sight of the vision and promises of God. They forgot the vision. They forgot the promise. The vision was promised land. We're coming out of slavery. You're going to have your own vineyards. You're going to have your own property. You're going to have your own land. You're going to have your whole own orchards. You're going to set up shop in this land. The millionaire, you're going to scatter throughout. And we're going to have a temple. We're going to have a place of worship. And we're all going to come together. This tabernacle that we've got right now, this tabernacle that we've raised, it's going to become a permanent thing. Why? Because we're worshipers of this great God, Yahweh. And all of a sudden, when I say no, I lose sight of the vision and promise of God. I'll walk in fear and promote fear of the obstacles before me. Then we give out a bad report. We might listen to the majority and miss the faith, courage, and resolve of the godly. You'll grumble and complain against leadership. You'll make false conclusions and assumptions. You'll question God's integrity. Why is He leading us out here? To kill us? What are you talking about? Are you that much got your head in what you see instead of what God promises? You decide, I'm going no further than this. I'm going to go back to Egypt. And you refuse wise counsel. That's verse 7 and 9 in chapter 14. And then you'll pick up stones to stone the messenger of God. And then you'll sin against your great God because you'll said, I will not move on with God. Now I ask you, well, let me just say this. The consequences are brutal. 40 years. Until they die off, till their kids get to go in. Yeah, I was 10 years old when my dad did that. And now I'm 50. I was 10 years old when my dad did that, when my mom did that. When they didn't do the ways of God. And yet saw all the works of God. I was 10 and now I'm 50. And I'm finally getting over it. I'm finally in the promised land. I'm finally asking for forgiveness. I'm finally forgiving. I'm finally walking in the way God wants me to walk. 40 years. Well, I was 39. Right? Or I was 22. I'm 62. I'm going to say this. Every one of you in this place, every one of us is influence. We have influence. And we're either influencing people for the world or the kingdom of God. I'm telling you this. I'm saying this with all my heart. Prayed about it. 2 weeks. Asking God that if God has spoken to you on something that you have not yet done or that you have not given up yet or you've not embraced yet, I'm asking you, put your yes on the altar right now. Right now, put your yes on the altar with this commitment not to walk to the altar, but to get out of this place and go make what you're supposed to do, the altar. That might be forgiving somebody that you've held animosity for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've been walking in bitterness. You've been in the wilderness. You become a vagrant and a wanderer. It's what Cain became because of his anger. Never been able to settle. Never been able to settle in the places that you know God wants you to be. Never finding a church. Why? Because I'm still angry at that other one. And we become vagrants and wanderers. I see it all the time. Because we said no to the most wonderful principle of Scripture, and that's the unconditional love and forgiveness of God that we get to walk in. He forgave you. He forgave me. What do? We walk in forgiveness. Some of us are so fearful in this place. We're so fearful that we're not going to have enough money 15 years from now. Well, you may not be here 15 years from now. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. And I'm worrying and I'm just fidgeting and worried and fearful that I'm not going to get my due. And you miss God because you lived a year after year in absolute total worry, fear, anxiety, and stress. This is what their problem was. They got fearful, they got angry, and they rebelled against God. Fear and anger. See it all the time. Fear and anger. So God comes along and says, hey, I've come into your life. I've given you everything you need. So today, if you hear my voice, just go with it. Believe me, obey me, walk after me. Do what you did at first, when you first fell in love with me. The first deeds, he says. That's what he says to that church. He says to that church, you've left your first love. Remember where you fell and go run and do the first things. You know, the first things of betrothal. Yeah, you know, just like marriage. You may be married 30 years and you've left your first love. Well, go back and do the first things. Same principle. Some of you need to get in the car and say, we need to get back to our first love. In our marriage, and in our walk with the Lord. Not in that order. Our walk in the Lord and with one another. What has happened to us? Why have we let all this stuff get in the way of this wonderful relationship with God when he's given us everything we need? We're going to stop saying no. Start saying yes to the Lord. And we're going to do this. We're going to do this today. We're going to say, hey, what is the last thing God asked us to do that we've not done? We're going to go run do it. If that means picking up the phone. You say, well, I can't ask my son, or I can't ask my dad for forgiveness because he's dead. Still not too late to get it right. To absolutely, totally settle it right now, right here. You know, I think about just this whole process of where rebellion gets to. And it's not pretty. It's in the wilderness. And you might as well as be in Egypt because you're in bondage just as much in the wilderness as you were in Egypt. But I'm just going to tell you, if you're truly a child of God, here's good news. You can't go back to Egypt. Amen.
Amen.
And he'll keep prodding you. He will keep goading you. He will keep bringing circumstances up to you because he loves you. And it's a discipline of the Lord. And the discipline of the Lord is a good, good, good thing. He disciplines us for that we might share in his holiness. And God will do it. And you might say, oh, that's what that was. It's discipline of the Lord. That's what that was. That may be what that is. And so what I'm saying is you got to stop doing the things of the world that bring absolute misery and do the things of God, God's way, the ways of God. And let it start with compassion. Let it start with this loving kindness of God, to love my neighbor. Let it begin with that. When's the last time you felt compassion about something that wasn't accompanied with music? You know what I'm talking about? I'll look at things with a nice little tune to it and start crying. I've done that before. I mean, I've done that. You know I'm a sentimental guy. You know that I cry very easily. And I mean, I'm just telling you, I can cry at most of the most ridiculous places with some nice music going on. Now you know what I'm talking about. Now I'm talking now. In the silence of my heart says, God, we have not lived the way you've called us to live. And today we're hearing your voice. And we're saying yes to him and no to this flesh pot here. When I say this flesh pot, I'm not talking about me, only to me. I'm talking about your flesh pot. And the question is, will I do that? Today, if I hear his voice, will I harden my heart by saying no to him? By saying no to him. Now, I look at this passage of scripture, and it continues to go on because the bottom line is they didn't believe God. Maybe we'll come back to this another time, but I do want to read this last passage. Back in Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brethren. So what's this? The warning? Today if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't provoke him. Don't test him in the day of trial. You can watch his works, but make sure you know his ways. Because he says, as I swore my wrath, you will not enter my... Let me say it this way. You will not enter my rest. How much rest do you get when you're walking in worry and fear? Zero. How much rest do you have when the most influential person in your life is the one that you can't forgive? Because that's the most influential person in your life. So what are you talking about? I said, well, you think about him all the time. I mean, we see this. We see this in the political realm. I mean, when my guy's not there, I'm thinking about that other guy almost 24/7. What? I see it all the time. How long do you think about this guy? I think about him on and off all day long. The guy you hate? Greatest influence in your life. You're yoked to it. And you're yoked to that person. And God wants to come, take the yoke off your neck, smash it by you forgiving and you releasing and him coming and putting the yoke of Jesus on him, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Say, so you don't understand, I'm still in the middle of this stuff. I'm still in the middle of this junk. I'm still in the middle of this hardship. I mean, my kid's still rebellious, breaking our hearts. Still got this cancer. Still in hospice. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a life that can somehow, by the power of Jesus, get my eyes off the temporal and onto the eternal, so my life can be a blessing to the temporal. That's what I'm talking about. Not saying that I don't hurt, don't grieve, but I still walk the abundant life. I still walk the abundant life. You know, there's some people in this room, a lot of you, you went through childhood trauma and you got past it because Jesus took you out of it. And you got free. And it no longer defines you. Why? Because Jesus did this work. And there's some of us in here that still have the trauma and we're still walking in anger and we're still walking in bitterness and we're still walking in all this stuff. And God's right here. We're right here at the promised land. We're right here at the Jordan. And all we got to do is step into the water and watch it part and walk into the other side. I'm not saying it's easy, but it sure can be simple to receive him. These folks did not enter his rest. And as long as you and I continue to do what we do that is not of God, and we continue not to give up what God's called us to give up and embrace what he's called, we will not enter rest. You know that, right? I mean, that's our experience, isn't it? Yeah. You hear me say, how many of you know a happy, bitter man? Ain't nothing happy about him or her. It's no rest. No rest. So he says, take care, brethren. that there be no unbelieving heart, an evil unbelieving heart, that falls away from the living God. He says, test yourself. Make certain you're of the faith. I've got about 6 tests here. Maybe we'll get it next week. Maybe we'll move to the next thing. I don't know. Test yourselves. Make sure. Take care of your heart. And then the second thing, encourage one another day after day. So today, test yourselves. Take care that you don't have an unbelieving heart where you're falling away from the living God. You're falling out of fellowship. You're falling out of fellowship with the church. So he says the second thing is, encourage one another day after day as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today, I want to take care of my heart that I'm not an unbelieving person. I'm not walking in unbelief. Second, I'm going to be in fellowship with people who will encourage me day after day. You know, I'm going to say this. Really important. My number's on the bottom of the sheet. And you know that you can call me anytime. I may not be able to pick up, but I will pick up quick and get back with you. I don't put on this as a window dressing. We want to love you to the places God wants you to be. We want you out of the wilderness. We want you out of Egypt. We want you into the promised land. We want your marriage to have the promised land look. Your family. They've got people in this place that you can actually go to the online directory and get their number and call them. And you might now, you know, I don't know their name. But God, just like God showed Reagan, reach out to that guy. Just something about the encounter on a Sunday morning in the foyer, the greeting at the end. And you pick up and say, you don't know me, but I got to talk to you. And you might pick up and you might think, I'm not equipped for this. Oh, you're equipped to listen. You're equipped to pray. You're equipped to give scripture. You are. I mean, think about that. As long as it's still today, we encourage one another day after day. So you can look in the fold and you can see women's groups, men's groups. If you want to be a part of a home fellowship, give us a shout. There's Sunday school classes that are more than just listening. You talk. You have fellowship with that class. There's opportunities for you to connect. There's a women's trip. There's a women's retreat this week. There's a Legacy Outfitters in a couple of weeks. We've got just all these opportunities for us to encourage one another day after day. I ask a question of you men. How many of you are in one of our groups? Raise your hands. All over the place. Yeah. It's about 80. Folks, as long as it's still called today, don't harden your heart. Hear the voice, listen to it, hear it, believe it, and obey it. And step into whatever Jordan you need to step into. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, we might not have ever picked up stones against a leader, but we sure said some nasty things. Forgive us. Lord, in our fear, we didn't move on with you. So I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking that you prompt every single person here. I mean, there's so much other stuff that people can be dealing with today, like sexual sin and pornography, Lord, and all this stuff that defiles. But Lord, I just know in these days, there's a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. and there's a lot of mistrust of our God. So, Lord, I'm asking in Jesus' name that we'd say yes to you today. I pray, God, they'd hear, we'd all hear this. What's the last thing God asked you to do that you've not done? Will you make a commitment today to at least put your face toward going and doing what God's asked you to do? Sometimes it could be as easy as just saying, hey, you know that thing that happened 6 years ago? I didn't handle your heart right and hurt you. Will you forgive me for that? I didn't handle your heart right. I blew in, blew up, blew out. Will you forgive me? Maybe there's some things going on in your life, your personal life with personal purity, that you just haven't given up. And God's asking you to kill it because it's sin. To trust him, to believe him. Bible says they didn't enter in because of unbelief. They didn't enter in because of disobedience. So Father, speak to us. For today, if we hear your voice, we will not, by the power of Jesus, we will not harden our hearts. We will not provoke you. We will receive what you say, believe what you say, and walk in what you say. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to read one more thing. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they did this. And who did he say would not enter my rest? But to those who were disobedient. Verse 18. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Do you see that? You see the connection between unbelief and disobedience? What's he say about those folks? They didn't believe me. Therefore, they didn't obey me. Let's be people of faith. Amen. To believe that God says he's going to do what he says he's going to do and get us to the places. And that we get to love one another the places God wants us to be. And that's our commitment. No matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place, our commitment is to love one another to the places God wants us to be. And by the way, that's the promised land. It's the promised land.